Our lesson tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 7, verses 20 to 28. The superiority of Christ as priest over all other priests of all faiths. The author of the book of Hebrews taught in Hebrews 7, 4 to 10 that Melchizedek, after whom Christ's priesthood is ordered, was greater than Levi, head of the Mosaic Law's Aaronic priesthood. And then he taught in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 to 19 that Christ's new priesthood must void the old. So Christ, the new priest, must be greater than the Levitical priests. Now that brings us automatically to the third conclusion. That's found in Hebrews chapter 7, 20 to 28. This passage not only shows the superiority of Christ as priest over the Levitical priests, but also over all other priests of all other religious faiths. And we view that passage for our edification as follows. This is very interesting, and this is very applicable because I attended the funeral for Judy McLarty's mother on the first day of vacation or something. And we were there, and it was in a Roman Catholic church, and there was a priest there. And, of course, he went through the Mass where he was converting the cup, you know, into the actual blood. That's what he claims, transubstantiation and so forth. And I'm very familiar with Catholic theology in regards to that, because when the priest actually makes a statement, and you know, this is the body of Christ, it's actually Christ, and you might have remembered he actually bowed, because he's worshiping Christ that's in the wafer. That's why he bows at that point. And that's why when he holds the wafer up, they don't pass the wafer around, because they're afraid that people can drop it, and that's dishonoring to Christ. So the priest holds it, and he puts it directly in the mouth. That way it's not dropped. So there's all sorts of ritual that's behind this. And whatever isn't used at the wafers, they have to put back in the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is that gold box thing that's off to the side. And they have keys there, and they lock it because they don't want anybody stealing the body of Christ and so forth. So there's a lot of ritual that is built up around that. So this has a lot of application for us. I want to read the passage tonight, and then we'll look at it. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 20 to 28. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests, he's talking about the Levitical priests of the Old Testament, those priests were made without an oath, but this one with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they, the priests of the Old Testament, were truly many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, speaking of Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them completely, or to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing that he always lives to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily, as those priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once. And the Greek word is hapax. You really should translate it, this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law makes men high priests who have weakness or infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Okay, unlike the Aaronic priests, the Old Testament priests, and unlike any other human priest of any religious faith, Jesus was made a priest by way of an oath made by Almighty God the Father. This is a tremendous truth. There's a verse that this author is using, and he's milking it dry for everything that it's worth. It's Psalm 110, verse 4, and this was a psalm of David, and it prophesied about the Messiah. And in verse 4, of Psalm 110, it says, the Lord has sworn and will not relent or repent. Thou, speaking of the Messiah, whom we know as Jesus Christ, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, God made an oath, and God swore by an oath. God wouldn't have to swear by an oath. All God has to do is to say you're a priest forever, because it's God's word. But God, trying to make this doubly sure for us, he swore by an oath. He himself took an oath, and he swears by his own name that Christ is a priest. God has never done that to any other priest. He didn't do it to Aaron. He gave an order that he was supposed to be a priest, but he didn't swear and by an oath say, now I confirm on you the priesthood. He did it at Jesus. There's no other priest like that. So Jesus is automatically superior to any other priest, no matter what any other priest or priesthood or religious group tells you. You can't supplant, you can't replace the priesthood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, since Jesus was sworn to his priestly office by God the Father, he was made a guarantee. The Greek word is engios, of a better covenant than what was provided under the Aaronic priesthood of the Mosaic law. No other priest of any other religious faith is given such an oath, so he cannot guarantee a better covenant than was supplied under the Aaronic priesthood. You see, this is a wonderful thing that God is saying. God is saying, you can come to my son, and if you come through my son as a believer, you have a lot of hope that you're going to get somewhere, because my son has a priesthood that he can guarantee results. You can't guarantee results with a priest from some other religious faith or background or whatnot. I don't care how educated he is, how an upstanding citizen he is, and so forth. He's always immortal. But Jesus has an oath that was made to him by God the Father, so he can guarantee that he's going to get results. Now, that's beautiful. The Aaronic priests, like priests of any other religious faith, cannot continue indefinitely to minister since they are mortals and they die. Verse 23, and they truly were many priests because they were not allowed to continue by reason of death. But in contrast to that, Psalm 110 verse 4 claims that Christ is made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And if you're going to be made a priest forever, you have to live forever. Otherwise, how can you be a forever priest unless you forever live? So he has to live forever so as to hold the office forever in infinite superiority over all other mortal priests with finite lifespans. Let's say there's a priest who lives and serves as a priest for 50 years, which would be a very, very long time. In fact, the Jewish priest didn't serve that long. He took the priesthood when he was 30, and he had to graduate when he was 50. You only serve for 20 years. You only serve during the peak of your life between the ages of 30 and 50. And then you were automatically you're retired as a priest as far as serving in the temple. So, but Jesus serves infinitely. And we know the Bible says he always lives. Apparently, somehow the intercessory work of Jesus Christ is going to go on into eternity. I don't understand it because we're going to be without sin and so forth. But maybe he still has to, in eternity, he still has to intercede in our behalf for some aspect of weakness or, I don't know. We don't understand that. But he has a tremendous priesthood. It always lasts. Now, accordingly, Jesus Christ is able to save completely and eternally those humans who come unto God through him, for he eternally lives to make fully acceptable intercession for them. Verse 25, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, or completely, that which who come unto him, seeing that he always lives, or he ever lives, to make intercession for them. That's a wonderful truth. Now, this kind of priest also can meet every spiritual need that we have. And this is what verses 26 to 28 are all about. Jesus is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners so that he can effectively intercede in our behalf to a perfectly righteous God, unlike all other priests who are sinners. You see in verse 26, for such an high priest became us who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. We have a book, and I have a book in my library. Lorraine Botner authored the book Roman Catholicism. It's recognized as one of the world's leading authorities on the Roman Catholic faith, at least that's written by a Protestant. And he points out, he referred to a priest who had served in Rome. I think he had served 40 or 50 years. And he had worked in every capacity as a priest, and what really bothered him was the confessional. He used to listen to people say the confessionals. And people would have to gut-wrenchingly admit things they were terribly embarrassed about to the priest, sins that they had committed. And he said, here I was absolving these people of their sins when I did the same thing. And he said, who was I to absolve someone else of their sin when I was guilty of the same thing? I wasn't holy. So he says, I couldn't stand it eventually, and I got out of the priesthood, left the Catholic Church. And he wrote a book, I think 50 years in the Church of Rome. I think that was the pastor or the minister or the priest or whatnot. And he pointed out how he couldn't live with himself anymore. And I think there is a tremendous amount of guilt complexes in these priests. See, when these priests sin, they have to go to the bishop or the archbishop, or they have to go to higher up. But when the Pope sins, where does the Pope go? So we just go to Jesus Christ. He's the only priest that we have. He's our great high priest, and he's sufficient. And he's perfect. He's sinless. He didn't sin. So that's a completely different story going to the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, Christ is exalted by the Father, having full welcomed influence with him. Verse 26, and he's made higher, or he's exalted. There's no other priest that has been raised up by God the Father, ascended to the heavens by the Father, and put on the right hand of the Father, where the Father has turned the running of the universe over to him. Our high priest is. He's running, in fact, he's holding the molecular universe together right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's controlling everything. And that's the one to whom we who intercedes for us. So he has tremendous pull with God the Father. There's no other priest can do that. Any priest of any church, there's no minister that can do that today. We're not even close. Only Jesus. And that's a tremendous confidence for us. And then unlike all other priests, Christ is exalted above the heavens, having greater sway with God than any other being. Verse 26, and made higher than the heavens. That's an amazing thing. Someone might say, well, I prayed to St. Jude, or I prayed to the angel Gabriel, or I'm using some intercessor somewhere up in heaven. Well, Jesus is higher than the heavens. So why not go to Christ? What do you mean, this other person? You don't need this other person. You have Christ. He's higher. He's God. And he's exalted. In fact, we read in the book of Revelation, I think it's Revelation chapter 5, where when Jesus is the Lamb of God and he comes out from the throne where the Father is, and he comes up and takes the seal, the book, out of the hand of God the Father, and he can break the seals. The Bible tells us that all of the angels of heaven open up and they praise Christ because he's the central focal point because of what he did on the cross. And the honor, that God wants him to be the honored at this point. It says thousands upon thousands, an innumerable company of angels broke out. And then we, the church, the 24 elders, broke out and praised Christ. We don't see that glory now, but we're going to see that when we get to heaven. And Jesus actually prayed in John 17 that we would be able to see the glory that he had with the Father before the world existed. But he even has greater glory now because of what he did on the cross in our behalf. Now, unlike all other mortal priests, then, Jesus, being sinless, does not need to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the others. Verse 27, who needs not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did hapax, this he did once for all when he offered up himself. So, he offered one sacrifice for the sins of others when he sufficiently offered his sinless self once for all on the cross. This is a wonderful truth. About half of our church are people who come from the Roman Catholic Church that holds that during the Mass, Christ is he's actually re-suffered. He's re-offered, re-sacrificed. In fact, this idea of one non-repeated sacrifice contrasts sharply with the repeat sacrifice of priests of other religions as the repeat sacrifices of Christ in the Mass of the Roman Catholic Church. Lorraine Botner cites a Roman Catholic catechism of Christian doctrine that claims, quote, the Holy Mass is one and the same sacrifice with that of the cross, inasmuch as Christ, who offered himself a bleeding victim on the cross to his heavenly Father, continues to offer himself in an unbloody manner on the altar through the ministry of the priests, end of quote. So every time the Mass is said, Christ is re-crucified according to the theology. He's put up there once. Again, he's re-sacrificed. However, the Hebrews 7:27 expression, once for all, is from the Greek word ephapax, and in the context, it means once for all, in contrast to the repeat sacrifices of the Aaronic priesthood, or thus of any other priesthood. See, we serve a Savior. We serve a God who saw his Son die on the cross. And when Jesus said it is finished, there was no more suffering needed. It's finished, it's finished, it's done. So when we have a communion service, we're not re-crucifying Christ. I always repeat this. It's just grape juice, and these are just saltine crackers. Now, on Thanksgiving Eve, it's not saltine crackers. It's bread that my wife makes, but it's bread. That's all it is. And it never turns into the body and blood of Christ, even mystically, as the Roman Catholic Church. Why? Christ isn't re-sacrificed. When we had a Christmas Eve service here, we had some people who were visiting from a Catholic church, and I overheard a conversation between them and their relative who's here at Nibok Church, and the lady asked, "The cross, where's Jesus?" Because she's expecting to see Jesus on the cross. And the Nipog member wisely said, "He's risen." So they saw, okay. And they believe he's risen in the Catholic Church, but he's risen, but yet you want to see him on the cross. Well, you can't have both. He's either still on the cross or he's risen. And he's risen, his work is done. He's not suffering anymore. He's finished the work. So Hebrews 7:27 says, once for all, he is offered the sacrifice. So the Mosaic law appointed men who were weak as mortals, as is also true of all other religious faiths who are weak mortals serve as priests. However, in huge contrast, Jesus Christ was appointed the eternal and thus able priest by the Father's oath, and he has been made an adequate priest forever in contrast to all other priests of all other religious faiths. Verse 28, for the law makes men high priests who have an infirmity or weakness. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, makes the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. So, the lesson is Christ is infinitely superior to all mortal priests, not only of the Aaronic priesthood under the Mosaic law, but by way of application, he's infinitely superior to all other priests of all other faiths. So in application, may we confidently look to Jesus Christ versus any other priest or religious priesthood for intercession with God the Father relative to every spiritual need that we have. Now, at the funeral service, where Judy's mother, this funeral service is there, I noticed that about 40% of the people were people who had been at Nipog Church or who had been affected by the teachings of Nipog Church. And when it came time for people to come up and get the wafers, the priest said, you can either take communion or you can come forward for a blessing, or you can come forward, or you can just stay in your seats. Well, guess what? All the Nipoggers stayed in their seats. So 40% of the people were there. And I'm sitting back there as the pastor, and I don't think the priest knew that I was a minister, and that's fine. But I'm sitting there thinking, praise God, you know. We got all these people who are educated. They recognize that Christ isn't re-sacrificed. You don't have to go through that. You don't have to partake of the wafer in order to keep yourself saved. And so you make sure you go to heaven and all that. Salvation's by faith alone and Jesus Christ alone. And he's risen. He's not here. He's not re-sacrificed. And it was a thrill for me to see all the Nipoggers understand that and just sat where they were. They didn't go forward for the blessing because they knew that the only one who could bless you is God. See? A pastor can't, a priest can't bless you, only God. So we're praising the Lord for that. So may we rest in the fact that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is absolutely superior to every other possible priest. So we don't have to feel threatened or feel that somehow we need to leave Christianity and go to some other religious faith, as some Christians even do. What we have in Jesus Christ is vastly, is infinitely superior to what is found in any other faith. So may we rest on our Savior.